When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Age of Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Steve. I just want to let you know that for all the latest on our podcast, hit us up at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also on Patreon if you want to check that out. But our homepage is with the Age of Radio Network at ageofradio.org/everythingilearnedfrommovies. And if you're looking for some amazing art, check out my wife's Etsy page at untidyvenus.etsy.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Also, follow us at PodcartFest, that's PodcartFest, for our periodic art and podcasting festival that we're going to be hosting. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, let's get to the show.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes, a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
He has walked through centuries, untouched by time. He has seen empires rise and fall. He possesses the wisdom of the ages. Throughout eternity, no man has ever provoked such terrible fear and such haunting desire. Dracula, starring Frank Langella, with Laurence Olivier.
I am the last of my kind, descended from a conquering race. But I must warn you to take good care. If at any time my company does not please you, you will have only yourself to blame.
Oh, God! That's my poor Sherlock!
I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is
Everything I Learned from Movies.
And tonight.
Oh, tonight.
We are talking 1979's Dracula.
Wait, I thought we only did bad movies.
Well, we'll see. but babe.
Steve.
Before we keep going through this year of the character in Dractober.
We're pretty sober,
so. We really are. Let's change it.
Alrighty. Ooh, in honor of this here movie, we have from Utah Brewing Company, Red Eye Imperial Red Ale.
She has red eyes like boobies.
Woo! Like boobies?
Rubies?
Oh, I misunderstood that whole thing.
You sure did.
Anyway. Yeah,
the context is completely different now.
I'm gonna pop my top.
Oh, my top! Like boobies!
Like my boobies! And the pour.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful red ale. It's very, very clear. Has a off-white foamy head with lots of tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles makes me happy.
Mmm. A little malty on the nose.
Ooh.
Almost no hop character on the nose. Yeah. Smells just like a little earthy and clean. Steve's coming in for the sip.
Yeah, very malt forward. Yeah, there a little bit of like caramel and like rye, and like I said, the earthy notes. I think it's probably some like old world hops or something like that, as opposed to like the piney kind of stuff you usually get, but wow. Mm-hmm.
Almost more like roasted malt bitterness than hop, like on the taste up front.
Yeah, and being an Imperial Red Ale, this is 8.3% alcohol by volume.
Woo! Back to the good stuff.
You can taste it there on an empty stomach, let me tell you.
Oh my. Your stomach's not that empty. We had pulled pork tacos with tater tots.
Yeah, like 3 hours ago.
Top me off here, babe.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
That's Utah Brewing Company's Red Eye Imperial Red Ale.
So, Steve.
Yes.
Dracula.
Yes, 1979's Dracula. Oh,
yeah. Babe. Steve.
Have you ever seen this movie before?
I had.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this was my first time.
But not since I was like a kid.
Nice. So nice little revisiting of it. And
yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things where it was like, I would watch all, you know, the classic, like, horror movies. Vampires were never, like, my favorite as a kid. So yeah. I didn't, like, make particular note, didn't really revisit them. I enjoyed the killer, like, werewolf movies. Like, I enjoyed the, like, tormented soul turning into just bloodthirsty killer. I always liked ghost movies. Like, yeah. I think I'm the only person other than you that I know who enjoyed Changeling.
You're not into the sensual horror that a vampire or Dracula provides?
No. Especially, you know, some of those sensual vampire ones coming out of super racist and taking advantage of Canadian tribes and... Oh, have you not heard about this? Apparently, what? Twilight, the tribe that was depicted as the werewolves, they were never compensated for their likeness being used.
Oh, of course not.
I guess, like, there's whole, you know, I don't know, I don't watch these stupid fucking movies, but I guess there's a whole thing that, like, basically that native people are just savage barbarians. Man, they're not as domesticated
as... I got a movie to introduce them to called Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, that's nothing but very something. Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't watch Twilight, guys. That's too terrible.
for many reasons. Don't.
Coming from us. We are saying, please don't watch it.
But babe, I didn't know this movie existed until I was looking up Dracula movies for the Year of the Character.
You really haven't watched a lot of Dracula movies, though.
I know the basic ones. Like, obviously Bela Lugosi, but, like, none of the Universal sequels. You know, obviously, like, Lost Boys and, you know, stuff that was big in the 90s.
Yeah, but like, the classic horror.
Interview with a Vampire, and that was like, okay, I get it. Get a room, guys.
No, look, if you guys want to see gay sensual vampires, watch Interview with a Vampire.
Ooh, I got another one for that month we're planning. The So Straight It's Gay month.
Oh, shit.
Looking at you, 300 and Top Gun.
Here's the thing. That movie's so over the top, everyone, including myself, forgets Antonio Banderas is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Looking fucking sensual.
Yeah, he comes in for like 10 minutes in like hour three.
Yeah, and he's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's true. Like, ooh, that's a nice looking lady. Wait a minute, I know those eyebrows.
Turns around, Steve's like, I'd tap that. Oh, that's Antonio Banderas.
That's Desperado.
Well, okay, yeah. That's my favorite when you're like, ooh, look at that. Oh, that's so-and-so. Eh, he's good looking too.
Okay, we'll get to it in this movie, but babe, from Steve. Director John Badham.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. He started off obviously doing TV and stuff like everybody did in the 70s, including 6 episodes of The Night Gallery.
Yeah.
And then he really rose to stardom with a little movie called Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, shit.
This was his follow-up to Saturday Night Fever.
And then I love this guy already.
And then he followed this up with War Games, and Short Circuit, and Stakeout, and Bird on a Wire, and Point of No Return, Drop Zone, Nick of Time. And then he started doing TV movies after Nick of Time, and episodes of Psych, 6 of them to be exact, 9 episodes of Supernatural, and 3 episodes of a show called Siren I've never heard of, but... Yeah.
So, pure gold, apparently.
Apparently.
Everything that I like and grew up on.
Yeah, the penultimate disco movie. A pretty dang good Dracula movie.
Yeah.
War Games, Short Circuit, Stakeout is a comedy, right? Action comedy, Bird on a Wire. Point of No Return is just action. Bridget Fonda. Oh, Drop Zone, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, all over the place. But the screenplay.
Nick of Time, Steve.
Nick of Time, shot in real time, starring Johnny Depp and Christopher Walken. Couldn't tell you much more about it.
Oh, because we haven't talked about it in a while. I just have to throw out the my accredited art school, very fine. the entrance to their film and television department, the first thing you see is a poster for Nick of Time, now available on VHS. Framed in a ridiculous gilded frame. I remember I took you up there, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you showed
me. Yeah, we walked by and I was like, and so let me know what the first thing you see is.
And it's of course it's that. Nick of Time.
And next to it is like an old-timey camera that they have like fenced off so you can't like touch it and stuff. Yeah, but it's this is what we're opening. And it turns out the head of the department like worked on the movie. But still, like, that's what we're leading with.
And we'll have to do that movie to find out if we know that person. Oh, yeah, that name sounds familiar. Yeah.
Probably.
But screenplay for this movie comes from W.D. Richter. Does that name sound familiar? I guess not.
I mean, he's on the Richter scale?
Yes,
he's a seismologist who determined the grade for earthquakes. He also worked on this film.
That's right. Yes, that Mr. Richter. No, he wrote Slither, the 70s version.
Ooh.
Peeper, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 70s version.
As opposed to Invasion of the Body Suckers.
That's right. This, All Night Long, Hard Feelings... And then a little movie you might know called Big Trouble in Little China. Needful Things, Home for the Holidays, and most recently, an action movie I can't believe we haven't done yet, Stealth.
Oh, how have we not done Stealth?
I have no idea. We just haven't got to, I don't know, Jamie Foxman or something.
Oh my god, I know we talked about it when we did Firebirds.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We were going to do the Army Month because we were going to do, like, Iron Eagle and all the others, too. Coming soon, guys. But, babe, this movie has babyface sex pot Frank Langella as Dracula.
Oh, I believe when he entered the screen, Steve was like, oh, I would tap that.
Yeah, so like, oh, damn, babyface Frank can get it.
Right?
Yeah, and like 6 years later, he's going to be fucking Skeletor. So get it while you can, guys. Sir Laurence Olivier as Abraham Van Helsing.
I didn't even recognize him, but he's like, he kills it.
Yep. Donald Pleasance as Dr. Jack Seward. Trevor Eve, whoever that is, the guy that plays John Harker.
Mm-hmm.
And music by a young up-and-coming composer by the name of John Williams.
Who's he staying?
He had a little hit like a year or two earlier called Star Wars, maybe.
Oh, it's a shame that never took off.
I think he did Superman in between. Oh. Yeah.
So one of those is about mass murder and the other one is about space wizards, right?
Yeah. Maybe both. Who knows? Wait, that's the sequels. Well, I guess people of Alderaan. Anyway. Oh, wait. Spoilers for a 45-year-old movie.
Spoiler for the original Star Wars.
He just wanted some door converters or whatever. Oh, my babe.
Steve.
Did you know this was a Universal Dracula movie?
So it's official? It's canon?
Apparently, yeah. This is Universal Studios. Dracula. I mean, who knew? We start off with some howls in the dark, black screen. And then some moonlight and, like, a helicopter shot of around this castle that's, like, looked like it was on an island pretty much, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Lady in Black for anybody out there who's seen it.
Oh, the Woman in Black. Yeah,
Woman in Black. Woman in Black, yeah. It's like you can only access it during low tide.
Yeah. Oh, man, Daniel Radcliffe. Anyway, so we see a ship at rough seas and, like, guys yelling Hungarian or something like that. And And getting tossed around and they're like... I couldn't quite tell what they were speaking, like if it was German or it was supposed to be like Transylvanian or something.
It was Hungarian. Confirm it later.
Okay. But they're trying to take this crate out from inside the ship and toss it overboard. But
the storm is stopping them.
Yeah, they're getting like tossed all over and blah, blah, blah. And then the crate starts like opening and one of the guys gets fucking roadhoused by a hand that comes out and grabs his throat.
Oh, this movie, like, opens with action.
Yeah. And then we cut to an asylum, and I'm like, all right, here we go. It's starting hot. And yeah, we see Dr. Donald Pleasance, what's it, Seward or whatever, walking around. And, you know, he's
everybody's
trying
to... all the lunatics are losing their mind because of the storm.
Yeah, the storm. Oh, it's probably like a full moon or something, too, I think I heard somebody say.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, the crazies are going crazy at the crazy house. And he's like, where's Lucy? Where's my daughter Lucy?
She's upstairs in the house. Your house is upstairs from the insane asylum.
Yep. It's a shame we can sleep.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, so we go up there and we see Lucy and Mina, and they're just chilling up there, you know, being girls. And
do you think John Harker likes me?
Oh, yes, of course, darling. Oh, but we find out Lucy and Mina both are a little progressive for their time. And
I'm going to grow up and be a lawyer, and I'm going to change the world. How about you, Lucy?
I agree. I'll do something with my life because we are certainly not chattel.
All right, Lucy, you're never well after you've traveled all the way out here to visit my father's insane asylum. I'm going to put you to bed and then go help my dad with the crazies.
Okie dokie. Yeah, she like tucks her in, and I'm like, wait, is she just supposed to be there at the asylum?
Well, they mention in the next scene when Lucy goes downstairs to go see her dad, he's like, where were you? And we're like, Mina wasn't feeling well. No, Mina never feels well. And she's like, that's why we invite them out to this house to get some wellness. Like,
yeah. This movie's a little different because, okay, mm-hmm. we get some bells, you know, the church bells going on outside. And there's a whole big thing like, those are ship bells. Like, no, those are
hollow bells. They're ringing. She was saying they're ringing hollow. They don't have the pureness and the innocence. That means evil is coming. Like, it's the church bells. You hear them every night. No, they're hollow. They're hollow.
Yeah.
It's a harbinger of death.
Something wicked this way comes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we see Mina, she like gets up out of bed and she's like looking out the window at the storm, but she sees a ship and sees it like run ashore.
I should tell someone, but I couldn't possibly leave my room in my nightie.
Oh, she totally does, because then she's running through the graveyard outside. I'm like, wait, she had to pass through the asylum and I assume a gate or a door of some sort to get out to... Don't worry about it, Steve. And
she just went over the balcony. Progressive woman, Steve.
Oh, judging by her nightie, she probably just did like the little bat wings thing and jumped over the side.
By the way, Steve,
more on that later.
I want a nightie like that.
Well, of course, don't we all?
I want to traipse around like the undead.
You want a nightie that's like those flying squirrel outfits?
Yes. It's called a onesie. Actually, I think I already have one upstairs. It's Umbreon. Hold on, Steve. I need to go get changed.
There you go. So she's like running across the graveyard to where the ship's, you know, running ashore. And this is where we first kind of noticed the soundtrack for this movie is a lot like Bram Stoker's Dracula that came out, 12, 13 years later?
I'm assuming, like, thinking about it, that Bram Stoker's must have paid homage to this movie.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's basically the same.
Yeah. But Mina, she's like, oh no, this ship, oh, there's so many dead people here, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, everyone's dead.
Excuse me, sir, are you okay? And she sees a man lying in the ground in a nice little leather coat, like it's straight out of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Before that, we saw the wolf running around on the beach.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was a wolf.
First, we see the wolf on the deck, and then he jumps off majestically. Yeah. And, like, she catches a glimpse of it, like, trotting off, and then she sees the man in the coat.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you get the nice little scene where, like, the hand, like, comes out of the sleeve because he's, like, transforming and stuff. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the next morning. And, yeah, there's a shipwreck. There's bodies everywhere. Blood all over the place. This guy had his throat ripped out, tied to the what do they call the steering wheel on a ship?
The mast. No.
Yeah, I was thinking mast, but that's not it. That's the main sail.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The steering wheel.
Side of the steering wheel.
And we're also introduced to John Harker, who shows up because...
Yeah.
And I thought, oh God, is John Harker here? By the way, John Harker looks like a 1970s dude. Like, he's got the, like, mop haircut.
Oh,
he's
got
the mustache, like... You know, just like... just a 70s dude. That's all you got a picture.
Pretty much. It's the helm.
The helm. Okay.
Yeah, but he's the only one who looks wildly out of place in this movie, in my opinion. Everybody else looks really good, and, like, looking at him is just like, oh, his styling is off. I'm guessing he must have been shooting another movie at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah, he totally looks
like, no, I can't shave the mustache. I gotta do Dukes of Hazzard on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. I got a 3-episode run on Kojak. What the fuck you expect me to do? Yeah. But he shows up, and I was thinking he was a detective or something like that at first, like it was going to be one of those things. Nope, he's basically the real estate agent or whatever for this count that's out of town. And he's like, oh yeah, a lot of property on this ship was his.
In Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
He's the Keanu.
Well, he showed up. He showed up at the scene of a shipwreck like he was a fucking detective. Like everybody's like, where you go? He's like, it's okay, he's with me. You know, that kind of thing.
I think it's because he's one of the prestigious families in town, and he's representing the Count.
Yeah.
So he's there to defend his client's property.
Yeah, so he goes up there, he goes aboard the ship, and they're, like, checking out everything. And then we see Renfield for the first time, and he's trying to, like, drag some crates out, because he's, like... And then we get a whole backstory of what, like, Harker's the guy that sold Renfield's old family home to this Count, Carfax Abbey. And now it's like, oh, no, this is good as mine as it's theirs. And it's like, well, no, because the thing went shipwrecked. I'm here as the, real estate, the insurance adjuster, basically, to make sure this stuff gets to its final destination. And the shipping company is null and void. So fuck off, Renfield.
Well, and then here's the thing. Then they, like, hire Renfield and, like, his brother to haul the shit out to Carfax Abbey. Like, which, again, is like, okay, I mean, it's a small town. I get it. They're the only ones with the cart big enough. But, like, insult to injury, right?
By the way, babe, how would you describe Renfield? Like, a very specific podcaster that you thought it looked like.
Oh, he 100% looks like Brendan from WWTT. Brendan, if you ever want to know what you would look like as an insane familiar to a vampire, watch this movie.
Oh, and you can watch it on Tubi for free. And I highly recommend it. There's actually a lot of pretty good little Dracula movies we found on there.
Oh, yeah.
Tubi's doing pretty good. I like Tubi. Like, if
And so on some movies, it's literally every 7 minutes with the commercial, and it's super annoying because it's the same 3 commercials in a row. This one, I didn't notice it as much.
Yeah, I think it's movies like before 2000 or whatever they have on there. They'll have like 3 or 4 commercial breaks, so it's like every half hour. I'm trying to remember which one we watched, but yeah, it was like literally every 7 minutes, and we're like, oh, fuck, this hour and 40-minute movie took us 3 hours to watch.
It's been a couple of them, because we stopped watching Tubi for a while, because it was like, I remember there was something we were doing for the podcast where it was like, it's free on Tubi, I'll pay $4.
Yeah.
So I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, true. Well, all right, so Renfield is taking the
Renfield!
Dirt. Taking the dirt away. And we also find out that John and Lucy are the couple. Oh. Like, in Bram Stoker's Dracula, it's, Mina and John.
Yeah.
But Lucy's the love interest of this movie. So keep that in mind, guys. A little twist.
Yeah, they flopped him.
So then we go to Carfax Abbey, and it's basically nothing but cobwebs in class, as I put it. Like, it's this beautiful like castle, the Esmeralda staircase and all the like gargoyles and shit, but completely covered in cobwebs from top to bottom. And I'm like, old family home, huh? No one's lived there in 40 years.
Like, if y'all wanted it, you would have swept. That's sort of how I felt about this house when we moved in. If y'all still wanted it, you would have come back and gotten it.
Yeah, pretty much. Ugh. Where were we? Oh, yeah, so Renfield's there. He's, like, trying to drag the dirt, like, up the staircase to, I guess, the bedchamber for the Count. And then we get our first quick glimpse of little Dracula, Frank Langella, coming out of the shadows. And he's at, like, the top of the stairs, and Renfield's like, oh, this is pretty tough to be pulling up these stairs all by me lonesome. And then he turns into a bat and goes after Renfield. Ah! End scene. And then we cut to I think it was like the asylum or whatever, but we basically get that Dr. Seward is it's John Harker. He's basically like, hey, we're having a dinner tonight and we're inviting my most prestigious client, this Count Dracula.
He's royalty,
so let's try to be impressive and blah blah blah. And I like in this dinner scene in particular, we get a lot of Lucy and Mina being like super progressive for the time, like totally like cutting people off, and like, like they'll say something like super nice and they'll be like, oh, well, if that's how you believe these sort of things, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of like, all right, we get it. It's the 70s, guys. We're talking a Dracula tale. Let's keep it kind of real.
Yeah.
But, we get a good look at Babyface Frank in this scene, because he shows up, he's got the cape and the suit and everything on, and he is just wooing the fuck out of Mina.
Oh, he's wooing the fuck out of the whole goddamn room.
Yeah, well, true, yeah, everybody's just...
because he woos Lucy, too.
Yeah, not a dry panty in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of focusing on Mina, because she's a little, paler than the rest, because she's, you know, going through a rough patch or whatever.
Well, and they're sort of established that she's the weaker one.
Yeah, true.
She'll be the most easy to manipulate.
Yeah, so then we get the whole, they're at dinner, and like, oh, would you have some wine, Count? I never drink wine.
Such a good line! Yeah,
just like a throwaway line, too, like he's... I never drink wine. Anyway, how are my real estate ventures and blah, blah, blah. You know? Ooh, we also found out Mina's last name. Van Helsing. And of course, her father is the great professor Abraham Van Helsing over in Germany or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we get some tangoing. We see John and Mina tangoing in the background. And then we get, oh shit. We get a nice little scene where, you know, Mina's not feeling too well. And the Count's like, oh, let me have a gander at her.
Oh, but I'm a doctor. I have literally an asylum full of patients downstairs.
I don't know if you know this. I'm a Count, and a Count is much better than a doctor.
I could give her a drug. I mean, come on. Obviously, she's a woman. She's hysteric.
No need for drugs. I will hypnotize her. It's the way of my people.
Mm-hmm.
Mina. Mina?
Oh, yeah.
You will no longer feel pain. You will be perfectly content and will be able to get on with this party.
I love this party. I have no free will of my own.
And you're free. So, who wants to tango with a Count? And then him and Lucy start dancing, and yeah. This is where we get our first Tubi break. Oh,
woo!
Man.
Steve.
The first one was the Cowboy Days in Evanston, Wyoming.
Oh!
Which was basically two-thirds of the way done by the time this commercial was airing to us. I was like, hey, you want to come to the days? You've got tomorrow.
Pretty much. Like, we don't believe in no COVID, and we're going to have huge crowds. Ain't going to wear no masks, and ain't going to have no vaccinations. Come on down.
Yeah! Some Gentleman Jack whiskey, purple mattress.
That's right, mattress. The chess playing?
Oh, yeah, chess playing, because the only way to impress your father is to beat him at chess or something.
Beat him at his own game?
Purple mattress, you've all seen those commercials. And then, oh boy, the DUI ones for the potheads.
Oh, the pothead DUIs. Like, driving high is like driving drunk.
I'm sorry, I almost ran over the person who was taking their bike or who was basically jaywalking and not watching where she was going.
Oh my god, there was a drunk lady who was walking home and I almost ran her over because I was
guys, I'm gonna say right now, if you get fucking ran over because you're not watching where you're going, it's a two-way street, my friends. You're more nimble. Anyway,
if you hit at a crosswalk, I will grieve you. If you get hit totally. Jaywalking, I won't laugh at you at your funeral.
Also, stop looking at your phone when you're doing it.
Oh right, my god, get off your fucking phones while you're walking, people.
Anyway, that's the end of commercials. Where were we? Okay, so it's nighttime. And Lucy, you know, she's just sleeping away in her bed with Mina.
Yes, they're sharing a bed. Well, look, you have guests over. You have to make them feel comfortable.
That's true. But she hears a noise. And she goes, like, into another room. She hears some creaking. And then John Harker jumps out from behind a curtain and scares the shit out of her. And I'm like, well, John, you're about to get shot.
Right? Pow, pow, pow.
Oh, but it was so funny seeing the look on your face.
And I like how it's like, John Harker, you should be in bed. Well, you should too. Women shouldn't be out at this time. Like,
are you,
bitch, you were just going to come in and like creep into her room? Like, what's fucking happening?
Are you up to make me a sandwich? Well, then get back to bed.
So I guess you're just going to leave me for the Count then, because you danced with him.
Yeah, he was fucking green-eyed jealousy monster. He was like, oh, John, it's not even like that. You know,
I just tried to impress the new neighbor. Come on, bro.
You know, Big D just wanted to dance. Like, wait, what'd you call him? Dracula. Count Dracula.
Yeah, Big Dracula.
Yeah, so then they go like out on the balcony or whatever and like make out a little bit, because, you know, whatever. And then we pan up and we see Dracula watching them make out.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not there just be a peeping Tom. He starts crawling down the wall face first.
Oh, so, and straight up breaks the fourth wall staring at us for part of it, which just makes it creepier.
Yeah, he's eye-fucking you the whole time. He's doing the little Batman crawl, basically. And then we see Mina. She's, you know, in bed, like, tossing and turning. And
what's that? What's that noise?
Oh, I'm so scared.
You see, like, Dracula, like... you see, like, his hand, and he's, like, clawing at the in between, like, the little glass pieces. Because it's kind of like a stained glass window kind of thing.
Just fingering,
get it in there, breaking off little pieces. And then we pan over, and you see Frank Langella hanging upside down.
And then he just breaks the glass, grabs the knob from the inside, and opens it. Yeah. And she...
presents herself.
Is in love.
Yeah, he enters.
Oh, she's been vampire thralled. Yeah, she's been thralled.
And then we then cut to, like, I think it's John and me, John and Lucy out on the balcony, and you start hearing, oh no, they were in that fucking greenhouse or something.
Yeah.
I was like, what the random ass greenhouse? When they walk out there in the middle of a storm or whatever. Okay, whatever. It happens. So then Lucy, you know, goes back in the bedroom trying to be all nice and sneaky, slides back into bed with Mina.
She'll never even know I was good.
The perfect crime. And goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. Next we go to Carfax Abbey, and Renfield, like, finally wakes up. He's just been lying at the bottom of the stairs, apparently, for the past day or two. At least overnight, whatever. But he wakes up and he's like, cottonmouth, and ooh, is that a cockroach? And then Dracula, like, pops out from behind a bookcase, like, surprise, Renfield, it's me. I'm here to offer you long life to be my servant. And Renfield's like, okay.
Sounds good to me, boss.
That's right. So then Lucy wakes up and leans over to Mina and is like, come on, Mina, it's only 8 o'clock. No, well, that's right. Lucy wakes up because she hears someone struggling to breathe and glances over, and Mina's like, I
can't breathe.
You're like, Dad, get some doctors and shit up here. And Dr. Seward comes up, and of course, you know, as is practice at a time, babe, how do you care a woman that obviously can't breathe?
Slap her around.
That's right, slap the shit out of her, just shake her like a little baby, breathe. And just... the power of Christ compels you, that kind of shit. And yeah, she dies, but they notice. I'm sorry, she dies.
Oh yeah, this whole scene, like, they're basically like, you're just panicking. Oh shit, there was actually something wrong with her, and now she's dead. Like, oh yeah, and this is pretty much every woman's experience going to the doctor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let me just slap the hysteria out of you. You'll be fine. But it's cancer.
Couldn't wait. Anyway. But yeah, so they're like, oh no, she's dead. And they notice two little puncture wounds on her throat. What could have done this? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should look into it. Okay. What happened? So yeah, Harker goes to visit Carfax Abbey. You know, the castle from Woman in Black. He's got the final, like, deed papers to, like, sign everything over. And...
Yeah. He also goes to Carfax Abbey to make sure that the car he wants to buy hasn't been in an accident.
Oh, yeah, you definitely don't want those, like, insurance claim ones where it's like, oh, yeah, flood damage. Yeah. Fuck that noise.
Turns out it was in Louisiana in the 90s, the late, early 2000s. Wait,
is this a modern day telling? Even then, it's 20 years in the future. He shows up, like, oh, okay, Dracula, here's the papers, just sign here and here and here. And Dracula's like, oh yes, that's great. If you could have my lawyer just check it over as well. Oh, and here's the
letter. I'm your lawyer.
No, you're my real estate guy. My lawyer is completely different. I'm a count. I got a bunch of people.
All right. Okay, that makes sense.
Could you deliver this letter for me to Dr. Seward? It's basically inviting him and his daughter to come hang out with me while you're out of town. You're heading out of town, right?
You gotta he sends him out of town. You need to go out of town and deliver these papers for me. It's very important.
Oh, is that what part of it is?
That's why he was like, well, I'm not gonna leave tonight because my girlfriend's best friend just died and we're having a funeral.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you should totally do that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you're gonna leave in the morning, right?
like first thing? You know, business over booty? Yeah.
You are a professional, right? And I'm a count?
It's very important to me. John hops in his car and drive. By the way, there's a car in this movie. It's one of those old, like, steamer ones or whatever.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Tops out about 30 miles an hour, but it's actually pretty cool.
It is outrun by horses at a very strategic point in this movie.
It's also outrun by a man carrying a woman, but we'll get to that part later.
A vampire carrying a woman, babe.
He's walking still.
Yeah, but he's doing vampire walk.
Is he?
So he's much faster.
Is he, or is he doing Frank Langella carrying a woman walk?
Yeah, no, but he's a vampire, so it's faster.
We'll get to it when we get to it. Because I also have another theory.
Come on,
shortcut. Yeah, he's Benny Hilling across the... Anyway, we'll get
yeah, there. Just like in Twilight.
But while John's driving away, someone jumps out of the back seat. Ah, it's me, Renfield. Quick, get me out of here. He's going to kill me.
Get your hands off my eyeballs. Renfield, oh my god, I'm going to slap the shit out of you. Calm down.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I'm headed to the insane asylum anyway. I'm just going to
drop a letter off. I'm just going to have you deliver it and commit your ass. Then we get the funeral for Mina and...
Dr. Van Helsing shows.
No, not yet.
Oh, no, that's right. He's on his way.
Yeah, he's on his way. We hear that Mina's father is coming. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit. As I've written down for this funeral, John is being a complete dick to Lucy while she's mourning her friend.
Right? Like, oh, so, I mean, you know, your new boyfriend, the Count, he wants to have you over to distract you from the death of your friend or whatever, because he's your new boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude,
read the room.
Oh, and she breaks up with his ass.
Yeah, she's basically like, well, maybe we should just, like, see other people or take a sabbatical or whatever.
Oh, and she's like, we're not enemies. But have a good time in town.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is how you break up on a cliff overlooking the sea at a funeral.
At a graveyard, yeah, yeah.
Like they're on a cliff overlooking a cemetery on the sea.
Oh, and adjacent to an asylum.
Right. And he's just like, well, I'd never hate you, but I really should be getting to town now.
Oh, that's right. Then Lucy's, like, talking to her dad or whatever, and the dad's like, we can take care of all this before we head over to the Count's for dinner tonight. And she's like, wait, what now? Oh, sorry, didn't I tell you? We're going to the Count's for dinner tonight. We can reschedule or something if you don't want to. She's like, no. We can totally do that. I'm back on the market.
Right? She's like, yeah, I need something to distract me from my breakup and my best friend's funeral. But then
you can almost hear John in the background, oh, some bitch.
Right? Well, but then her father gets distracted. Isn't this where he has to go down and go check in Renfield?
Oh, no. Renfield's already taken care of, I think. Yeah, the funeral's the next day from when Renfield gets taken.
Oh, okay.
But, he does get distracted because he's picking up an old friend at the Whitey station. I'm sorry, it's Whitby Station is the train stop, but it's like the signs look like it said Whitey.
Whitey Station. Steve, this is one of the whitest movies we've done in a long time.
You know what? It's so white, it looks like it's shot in black and white for 90% of the movie.
Right? I'm not gonna lie, I do like the, like, desaturation.
Yeah,
It works for this.
Yeah, totally. But, good old Dr. Seward, he's at the train station picking up Abraham Van Helsing, played by the great Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yeah!
And basically Abraham shows up and we get a whole, like, tell me, was she in pain and blah, blah, blah. And Dr. Seward's like, look, dude, let's get you home and get you rested. You've had a long journey. And
we're just not going to talk about that. I mean, you know what? I did what I do for every woman. I slapped her until she either came to or she didn't.
That makes sense. Meanwhile, Lucy arrives at Carfax Abbey and... the front door, you know, the beautiful doors are opened.
She is dressed to the nines.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she is in her DTF dress. And the door is open and there's a nice little like wood table with candlelight. Basically everything behind this table is still covered in cobwebs, yep. But like the foyer has been cleared out with like a dining table and candles and shit.
Look, he just moved in, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, everything's such a mess.
You live in this town. You know all the maids already work for your father full time at the asylum.
True. And Dracula, he goes into the whole thing like he's the last of his kind. He's a great, comes from a long line of Romanian warriors and lords of the land and leaders. And he's basically just Romanian pimping at this time.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, in the middle of dinner, we then, like, cut to somebody diving through a fucking window. And then someone screaming, "My baby! She ate my baby! She murdered my baby!" And we see, like, this person in, like, a white dress just, like, running off into the distance after diving through the window. And, you know, it's at the asylum, and and the doctor, she comes up to the woman who's like, "Oh, my baby! She ate my baby! Did you see who it was? Yes, it was Mina!" What? But Mina's dead.
Yes, yes, the one we buried yesterday. She came in and she ripped the throat out of my baby. And then there's a shot of the baby. And because this is an insane asylum, I just legit thought it was a baby doll. But then they cover it. Yeah. So it's a real baby?
Yeah, it's a real baby, like, with its throat ripped out, like, red.
But it was very much like a baby doll. Like, it was like...
Yeah, oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. Yeah, no real baby on the set for that one. yeah, so then we cut back to the Carfax Abbey, and, you know, Dracula and Lucy are out on the balcony and listening to the wolves. "Oh, the children of the night, what sad music they play."
"Do you think it's sad?"
"Oh, yes, it's them, you know, longing for the love that they have lost and blah, blah, blah." And, of course, that helps Dracula seal the deal with a kiss. Oh, but they start kissing, and then he goes towards her throat and then starts nibbling on her earlobe. Babyface Frank, by the way.
"You are not like the other girls."
"You're right. I came of my own accord."
Oh!
Yeah. And then Lucy stays the night for comfort. Mm-hmm. "My friend just died last night. I shouldn't be alone."
"Oh, my father's just so busy with all the lunatics, and I haven't slept alone since Mina died."
Was that yesterday? It's been a long time since I haven't shed a bed yet. So the next morning, Van Helsing, he's like looking through some books about bats. Then he like goes to his daughter's grave, and he has like these like garlic flowers or something that he's placed all over it, and was it Lucy? Lucy comes up and talks to him. He's like, "What are you doing to Lucy's or to Mina's grave?" And he's like, it's an old tradition. Don't worry about it. Oh, by the way, Lucy wanted me to give you this." And
it,
like, opens.
Oh, it was supposed to be a birthday present for her, he knows that Lucy would have wanted her to have it and never, ever, ever take it off.
That's right. And she opens up this little jewelry case, and it's a necklace. With a cross pendant.
And then, a little gold cross.
And then, as if his ears were burning or some other part of him, Dracula shows up on a horse.
Yeah.
And Abraham's giving him the shit eye, like, "I've heard about you, Romanian Count. They say strange things about you. I understand you were one of the last people to see Mina alive."
You know? I mean, I was at the party, but...
"And if you'll excuse me, I must go pay my respects." Clomp, 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 clomp. Yeah, I think they're like looking like from the asylum or whatever. Abraham's like looking out the window, and he sees like Dracula on the horse, but the horse is like freaking the fuck out because of the, I assume, the garlic flowers or the crosses or whatever. I don't know. This is the first time I wrote down, like, wait, wasn't this during the day? Because, you know, it's a foggy day in old London town or whatever. Like, it's foggy, but it's like obviously daytime. Like, everything's, like, backlit from the sky.
It was evening. So when Mina goes down to Dr. Van Helsing, she says, like, "It's getting late and it's getting cold. You should, like, come in." And he's like, just a few more minutes. So it's evening.
Okay. Because I was wondering, like, at this point, like, wait, is Dracula a daywalker? And if so, cool. But, yeah. Just trying to keep it consistent, that's all. Okay, then the next thing we have Van Helsing riding a white horse through the graveyard. And apparently we learn his horse can sniff out vampires like a fucking truffle pig or something. like the horse is like pawing at stuff and then it's like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. But then he gets to Mina's grave and starts kicking up the like garlic flowers off of the top and like knocking over the headstone and stuff. Yeah, it's like, oh no, my daughter, she is Nosferatu. Yeah, Lucy, like, she like puts the necklace like on a little like a picture frame or something of like Mina or whatever. Picture of her and Mina. And then like instantly, as soon as she does that, you see Dracula like in the window, like, hello there.
Oh my god. He's that the meme of the guy behind the tree rubbing his hands. Oh fuck together.
Yeah, he is. He's totally like, as soon as she takes that necklace off. There we go.
Dracula waiting for Mina to take her cross off.
Yeah, so he pops into the room and he's like, sup, girl? You will be the flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. And basically he takes her to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And babe, tell me about the, we'll call it, love scene?
Oh, it's an erotic lovemaking scene, except for it's just their silhouettes and a ball of fire. And
yeah, it's like okay, there's that the Michael Jackson video with like the like lasers and smoke or whatever behind him. The don't stop to get enough. It's that, but it's Dracula and Mina like horizontally and backlit with that. And you see, like, they're just, like, making out, and, like, occasionally Lucy's, like, putting her arms up and stuff. Like, it's
oh, yeah.
It's nice, but it's also, like, all right, 70s, I get it.
Yeah.
but then...
It's sensual, Steve. He's a sensual creature.
Yeah, but then them making out takes a weird turn when he basically gets on top and cuts his chest, letting the blood trickle out. And she comes up and drinks it. And then we get some more Tubi commercials, because it's about these like Universal ski passes that are a big thing now. Like, was it the Icon Pass that's like for Colorado?
Yeah.
And
Yeah, visit like 7 different ski places.
Yeah, which isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, more power to them. I like
Absolutely. But you're going to sell more season passes if people can go to multiple places.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Like, I think Utah has one too. I forget what it's called, but yeah, I think this was for Colorado, because apparently
the Pow-Mow Pass? What? Or is that just...
No, Pow-Mow's Powder Mountain.
Okay.
But yeah, there's one for, like, all the Park City ones. I know that.
Okay.
But anyway. Yeah, look it up, guys. We also... Okay. Guys, I don't know if you know this. Progressive insurance commercials are probably the best fucking commercials out there.
They really, really work hard.
Like, whether it's Flo and her minions,
or... Oh my gosh, yes. Jamie!
I think in this one in particular, though, it was the Becoming Parents ones. Stop you from becoming your parents.
Oh, yeah.
The life coach guy or whatever.
Yeah, the Dr. Phil of not becoming your parents when you become a homeowner.
And this was a new one, because I hadn't seen the airport one before.
I didn't, and I realized I am the gal at the airport.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah, so when did we start loading? 3 hours and 45 minutes. Oh, okay, thank you.
Anyway. Well, no, you don't have to buy anything. I brought snacks.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. See someone running through the airport, like, stupid bitch should have woke up earlier.
That's so odd. It's us.
It's true.
Here's the thing. We're not our parents, because our parents would be the people running through the airport.
We learned from our parents to not be those people. That's why we're like that. So then what happens? Oh, yeah, we find out that, that's right, Abraham and Dr. Seward, they go to dig up Mina's grave, because, you know, daddy has a hunch.
Right.
And so they dig it up, and the grave is empty!
Look, I know my daughter, and I know that she's kind of a whore for vampires, so I'd like to dig her up.
Yeah. Well, and then I think Dr. Seward has, like, the same reaction I did, like, wait, but the ground wasn't disturbed up top.
Mm-hmm.
And they find a little hole in, like, one of the corners of the grave.
The mines! They run all over all under this town!
That's right. And so, Daddy dives down through the mines, and Dr. Seward's like, I wouldn't go in there! It's probably pretty smelly!
This is... We didn't notice this hole. We dug the grave, but this probably goes through all the other graves. You're gonna see a lot of coffins. We didn't even bother putting some of them in coffins.
We moved the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies! Yeah. I don't... Poltergeist. Look it up, guys.
Oh, so good.
So, So yeah, so they get down in the tunnels and they're like, you know, sneaking around like, what is this? And, you know, but then we hear Mina coming down the tunnel, and Mina's looking rough. She's like pure white. Ooh. Has like the like big red eyes.
Yeah, and the contacts where like the whole eyeball is red.
Yeah, yeah.
Like her skin's starting to like chunk off. She did not transform well.
Yeah, I was trying to tell like if they just like caked makeup on her and that's kind of how they got that effect of like she was obviously kind of rotting and all that. But
it's really good though. She looks super creepy in her little ballet slippers.
Oh yes,
they buried her in. Yeah. Like I think there's like. How sort like fancy and like dainty her like burial outfit is, and then yet like how rough her makeup is. It's good.
Oh, and you know what helps her make her even creepier? She's speaking German.
Yeah,
because you know her last name's Van Helsing. Yeah, and so she's like, Papa.
That's right.
Papa, ist das die Nein? And like you know, like nein, my Liebchen, how could you? And she's like getting all close, like Papa. Papa, you come to see me. And then, basically...
Join me, Papa.
And like, no! And fucking stakes her ass.
Yeah. Oh, no, because she goes after him. He like, pushes her off, and she goes after the other doctor.
Oh, yeah, goes after Dr. Seward. And then
that's when he has to stake her.
That's right. And then she, like, turns around, staking her, and she's like, Papa. And, you know, like, Abraham's, like, holding her, and like, she dies and stuff, and he's like, no!
Was anybody else waiting for her to pop up and get him in the neck when she slumped over in his
arms? Or, like, bite his arm or something? Yeah. I was kind of waiting for it. But, nope. Daddy makes it through this encounter. And then, okay, so then John Harker, I guess it's been a day or two, so he's, like, coming back. And he decides he's going to surprise Lucy.
Look, I know we broke up, but I know that she still loves me. So I'm gonna just stop by and say hi.
Yeah, he's even like, was like the maid or whatever, like greets him at the door. It's like, oh yeah, she's been up in a room making all kinds of weird noises. Definitely no gentleman callers. Yeah. And so he goes up there and he's like, Lucy, Lucy, you're so cold. I can work with that. No, he doesn't assault her. But basically, like, as he's realizing she's cold, I guess her dad and Van Helsing are like walking by like, fuck, what a rough night. And he's like, guys, Lucy's cold. And you'd almost see Donald Pleasance like roll his eyes like, fuck, not again.
Jesus. Van Helsing's like, well, I was going to grieve my murdering my undead daughter, but I'm going to go ahead and kill your daughter instead.
Yeah. So the Dr. Seward's like checking her out. And Van Helsing, yeah, he goes down the parlor to like, you know, make himself a drink or whatever. Babe. Who does he see down in the parlor? Or not see?
Oh, so he's making his drink in front of this gorgeous, like, 6-foot-long mirror
mm-hmm.
that, like, takes up the entire wall, which, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You see the door open, and the camera slowly, like, pans around the good doctor making his drink, and you see Dracula in the door frame, but you don't see him in the mirror.
And Abraham's like, oh, Count Dracula, I didn't see you come in this mirror.
He's like, I can see the whole room, but I did not see you.
Yep. And then Dracula's like, fuck this shit, and like throws a chair or something and shatters the mirror. He's like, oh, sorry, Mr. Van Helsing, Professor Van Helsing, I don't know what came over me there. And then he's like, I
don't like mirrors. And Van Helsing's just like sipping his drink, is like, odd fellow.
Yeah, weird. Well, are you hungry? Because I have a shit ton of garlic. And he's Dracula's like, yeet! And like jumps back like into the corner, like hiding in the corner of the room.
Yeah, he's like, I really do appreciate it when people snake up on me with garlic.
Yep. And then Van Helsing's also like, oh, what's it? Something's itchy in my pocket. Maybe it's this cross!
Ah!
And Dracula's like, ah, this is really irritating, but not at all incapacitating.
And I like how he basically is like, you're not like the other doctors, Dr. Van Helsing.
Yeah, like, good show, doctor. And dives out the fucking window. Right, but as he dives, he, like, transforms into the wolf.
Yeah, oh, that was a good transformation. Because, yeah, it's Franklin Jella on one side of the breaking glass. And then this gorgeous, like, husky mix on the other side. Yeah. I mean, wolf.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet little transition.
They did a really good job on that.
Yeah, so then, yeah, so then, like, was, like, Abraham, like, goes up to the bedroom, and he's basically like, hey, so, Dracula was just downstairs with me, and,
you broke your mirror.
Yeah.
And a couple of your doors.
And John's like, what the fuck is going on? And they're like, all right, bro, we got some stuff to tell you. We were just down at the graveyard, checking out Mina's corpse, and,
we had to kill Mina. She's already dead!
We had to double tap. Oh, that's right. They're, like, filling him on the way, because, yeah, they, like, go down to, like, Mina's corpse.
Can we borrow your car? We need to go visit the Count.
That's right, that's right. But, yeah, we get the whole scene where apparently Abraham's like, well, I have to cut out my daughter's heart right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my day.
Right. If I don't do it, I have to sacrilege her body to save her soul.
And then, meanwhile, up in the bedroom, Lucy's, you know, she's being watched over by one of the maids or whatever, and she's like, I don't know, Brunhilde, could you go get me some tea?
I'm cold. That's the most sensible thing you've said all day.
So she goes downstairs, and the boys come back, and they're like, Brunhilde, what the fuck are you doing down here? You're supposed to be watching Lucy. Like,
I'm making her tea. She wanted some tea.
What? And they, like, run up there, and of course, she's gone out the window or whatever.
Yeet.
Oh, that's right. They see her, like, trotting off on a horse or something, and they hop in the car.
Or her
and they're...
wagon. She has the wagon with that cute little white pony.
Yeah, the little carriage or whatever on it. Yeah. And, so yeah, they hop in the car, they chase behind her, and of course, this is a top-notch car, so it's able to cut her off, and
the little pony.
Yeah. And so, Dr. Seward takes Lucy back to the asylum. Meanwhile, John and Van Helsing, they're going to Carfax to settle this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get there, and, that's right, they, like, go into the castle, and, like, the front door's, like, open, or, you know, like, they just, like, push it open or something. And they just start opening crates, and they're like, what's with all this fucking dirt in here?
He has to be on his home dirt to get full rest.
Oh, that's weird. That's right, bitches. Oh, it's Dracula! He's been watching us the whole time, apparently.
I thought you slept during the day.
I could only need to rest, but as long as I'm not in the sunlight, I'm fine. I can walk about in the daytime. And I'm like,
yeah, he says to avoid direct sunlight.
Yeah. That's where it's like, okay. The fog's okay. I gotcha. And then, basically, that's when Van Helsing, like, pulls out the cross, and he's like, ha-ha, bitch, remember this? And he's like, fuck that, sets it on fire.
Oh, no, it wasn't Van Helsing, it was Harker.
Was it John? Oh, okay.
Harker pulls it out, and I was like, I couldn't remember if it was this movie, it's not this movie, but they're one of the Dracula movies, it's like, the cross only works if you believe in it.
Mm.
It doesn't work for people who don't believe in the cross.
Okay.
Like, it's the power of faith that actually saves you, not the shape of the cross itself.
And see, I thought it was because they were basically on his home turf, like, literally the soil of his land was there and makes him, like, superpowered, kind
of. I think it was a little of both. Like, yeah. Bitches, you're in my house, and John Harker, you don't even believe that shit.
Okay, I can dig it. And basically he's saying, like, oh, John, you're an adequate fellow, but I'm taking Lucy, and she's going to be my mistress for... till the end of time,
she's gonna be my bottom bitch. She's gonna be.
That's right. We're gonna make other vampires and have a whole vampire family, and you're just gonna fucking rot away.
He straight up says she will be the favorite of my wives, and I'm like, where are Frank Langella's wives?
Yeah.
I want to see what Frank Langella like peak is bringing home.
Oh, he's bringing home like Helen Mirren from Excalibur,
right?
Yes. What happens from here? Something like, I'm gonna take your bitch too. And then he, like, turns into a bat, and then there's, like, a good couple minutes of John and Van Helsing with, like, stakes, but basically, I just have written down trying to bat a bat. Right? Like, get away! Oh, and then the one, then the bat, like, jumps on John's face and starts biting his cheek, and he's like, Van Helsing, help me! And has him, like, tackled to the ground and is, like, biting him still. It's, like, just a little bat on his face.
Which, by the way, like, its little wings are flapping up against his head. Like, this is a good little prop that they've got.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty sweet. Meanwhile, Van Helsing, he's, like, at the other side of the room trying to take out this, like, support beam because he sees, like, a little sunlight peeking out. He's like, oh, if I take this out, then... you know, whatever, yeah. So he hits it down, sunbeam comes through, hits the bat, and it, like, flies off or whatever. Okay, cool. And then we get a little scene where, basically, you said Van Helsing breaks up a cracker and puts it in Dracula's bed.
Yep.
You know, it's one of the communion wafers or whatever, but... Yeah, it's basically like, yeah, if I break it up and give it quarters and then put it in his bed, it'll make him super uncomfortable.
Leaving crumbs in his, cracker crumbs in his bread isn't going to stop him, buddy.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Lucy's at the asylum and John goes to see her. She's like in the whole padded room. And
oh, yeah.
John's like, I have to see her. I must. And like, I don't think that's a good idea, bro. Like, whatever. I'm rich and I'm white. And so he goes in.
John, they've got me all wrong. I just wanted to see Dracula and talk this out with him, and they're acting like I'm in love with him. You believe me, right?
Oh, of course, my darling. Don't worry. We'll be together soon enough.
Yeah. Just get me out of here. Can we just, like, untie the straitjacket?
I'm afraid I can't do that, my love. Soon, though. By the way, John, what were you and my dad and Dr. Van Helsing doing to Mina in the graveyard with Mina earlier? What are you talking about, babe? We just paying our respects and whatnot.
I saw you in the window.
Oh, so you were, like, in the tunnels, maybe, like, you know, cutting her heart out? You fuck! Oh. And yeah, she's, like, seducing a... And basically, I've written down, she's, like, seducing him, but not really, but I assume John's a virgin.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know, maybe I can just get a little peck just on the lips. Just
a little something.
And then she goes for the neck. Oh! And Van Helsing busts in with a cross and he's like, begone, bitch! Ah! And then, like, hands the cross over to Lucy and she's, like, holding it next to her. Ah, John, what's happening to me?
Oh, you know. I'm trying to fight the demons within me.
Yep. And then, we see, like, Renfield and he's like, oh, my master will be coming. Ah, y'all gonna get fucked up now. And yeah, they like throw him in his cell. Then we get the scene where Dracula like pulls the bars out and pops in there, and he's like, "Renfield, you betrayed me. You told them I was coming."
No, I didn't. I didn't say anything, boss. I didn't mean to. There's
something on your neck.
Can you get it off for me?
Yeah, let me just. If you just snaps his neck like all the way around too, like it was a sweet little like. Like poltergeist shit going on.
Again, like a really good...
Oh, Exorcist, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but again, like a really good gag they did.
Yeah, practical effect. Yeah. And yeah, so they drop him down, and then instantly, like, the entire asylum goes full pandemonium. Everyone's running around. And, you know, the doctor right there, like, what happened? Oh, someone killed Renfield in his cell. And so they run over to there. And then we just see the smoke, like, crawling through the asylum and go into Lucy's padded room. And then, they're like, wait, what? Shit, we left Lucy alone! And they run back and go in the room, and there's, like, a giant hole in the wall, and they're, like, climbing down it. And then, this is the scene where we see Dracula basically pick up Lucy and then walk to Carfax.
Yep.
Just walk. Carrying a body, walking.
But he's got the vampire speed. It looks like he's just walking, but...
Because it's at the exact speed of maybe a power walk?
But if we were trying to catch him, it would be like in Ruth the Vampire when Luis, like, reaches out across the room and grabs the guy's cigarette.
Hmm. Okay, whatever. We'll
you know, the interview part of
Yeah, Christian Slater's. Yeah, I remember the scene. Slater. But okay, so here was my whole thing, because we just see, Frank Langella walking, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they're like hopping in the car. You see him like driving down the road, fucking Tokyo drifting and shit, because he's got the wooden wheels and all that. And, he just keeps walking. I'm like, maybe he's taking the shortcut to Carfax Abbey and they have to go down the road to use the car. Yeah. Maybe we'll go with that.
Nah, I'm gonna believe it's his vampire powers.
Oh, yeah, surprised he didn't, like, turn into a bat and they were flying, like, Superman or something, but...
Yeah, and this is also, I believe, where Dracula, like... Oh, no, it's when they get back to the house. He basically says to Lucy, like, sorry, you have to remain in your mortal form for a little bit longer.
They get there, they run up the stairs.
They almost hit a couple of horses on the way in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Dracula can sort of control animals, so he makes all the horses freak out.
Throwing all the beasts at him.
Yeah.
I was right, there's like wolves running alongside and stuff. Yeah, yeah. But they get to the abbey, they go in, they like run up the stairs to the coffin room. Oh, no, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're, like, running... Dracula and Lucy are running, like, side by side up the stairs. And, yeah, you're right. This is where they're, like, just a few more days, my darling, and then, you'll no longer be a daywalker. and then I can change you, and we can have a whole damn family. It's going to be great. Yeah, the guys pull up in the car, like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes later, we'll say, because it's like down the street, they run into this guy in a carriage, and he's got a crate in the back. Yeah. And like, oh, where are you going there? Like, oh, I'm just taking it on to port. And they see the crate, and it's like, wait, that's one of Dracula's crates. And then the horses go nuts and like start running off with the carriage. And it's like, oh, shit, we got another chase. And then there's like a little narrow passage and stuff. And then, oh, no, the most dreaded of all weapons against the carriage. A rock in the road. Yeah, it basically knocks the driver, like flings him out of the carriage. And he, like, falls on the ground dead or whatever. But that causes the car to swerve, apparently, right into a tree. And it's like, well, I guess that the horses are taking that to the port. All right. They eventually get to the port. And I'm not sure how they get there. Like, if they just walked it or what. But they get there later.
Yeah, they're definitely slowed down.
Yeah, and basically they see that the new ship or whatever is already, like, you know, going out in the bay. And they pull up to some guy like, hey, catch that ship there. And they're like, okay. But it's like a Russian crew. It's like a little tugboat or whatever. They like pull
up. Yeah, they get the little motorboat. And then they jump on. And yeah, it's like an all like Russian crew. And
they're like, where's Dracula? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Nosferatu? Nosferatu. Oh. And then they're like, oh yeah. And then like after like 3 minutes of back and forth of nothing, it's like, okay, the crate's gonna be in the hold. Let's just go down there. And then we never see the Russian guys again, which I have many questions about.
Oh, he said Nosferatu on a boat, babe. That's like the fire.
And they're just like, bail.
Yeah, that's like they're still in the harbor.
Yeah, true, true. They're like, all right, back to the bar. But yeah, they open up the crate and Dracula and Lucy are in there.
Oh!
Ooh. So Van Helsing pulls out his stake. He's like, John takes Lucy out or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Van Helsing's like setting the stake up. He's, I don't know, checking the angle of the sun or whatever when he's doing it. Like, he's taking his sweet ass time.
Right.
When he should just be like, pow, right in the chest.
Oh, and meanwhile, Lucy is fighting John.
Oh, yeah, they're like struggling. And, yeah, basically, Van Helsing's like distracted because John gets like slapped or something. And he's like, what was that? And then you see Dracula's eyes open up and he reaches over. Oh, sorry, he like grabs the stake and then he fucking skewers Van Helsing with like this 6-foot stake that he brought. And he's like got him like pinned to the wall and shit. He's like, ah, fuck. And then he turns his attention over to John, and John, like, grabs just, like, this, like, a meat hook that's hanging from the thing or whatever, like, throws it at Dracula, and Dracula, like, slaps away, like, get the fuck out of here with that, bruh. And then he goes over, and he, like, grabs John, he's about to do, like, the little Renfield neck snap thing on him, and he doesn't, like, immediately do it for some reason, like, he's struggling, though John's just, like, derp.
Maybe can't get the angle right.
Yeah,
wait, I gotta get between the two vertebrae.
I gotta get that sweet, like, cucumber snap when I do it. A little celery, like,
Babe, are you looking? Babe.
Yeah. Lucy, I'm gonna do it. Lucy, check this out. Is this your ex-boyfriend here?
Look at me.
You know? Meanwhile, like, Abraham, like, he's, again, skewered to the wall, but the hook's over by him. And he throws the meat hook back towards him. And it hits Dracula right in the back. And that frees John, and John's like...
Wait, it's the crate hook for picking up the crates out of the hole.
Yeah, that's it. That's right.
Because it's about to become important.
That's right, crate hook. And then, hits him in the back, and then John, like, I don't know, hits the lever or something that makes the hook rise and goes up onto the deck and into the sunlight. And he's just like... I don't know. He's smoking in the sun. He's like screaming.
And John drags Lucy up on board like, bitch, you get some sunlight too. You're too pale.
Yeah. And like, they just like start on fire. And like you see like the sunburn. He's like screaming for a good like 3 minutes solid.
Here's the thing. I do appreciate that like the Lord of Vampires takes a little bit longer to cook in the sun, because obviously this can't be the first time if he's been around for thousands of years, he's been caught in the sun.
Yeah.
And he's the most powerful one. He should last a little bit longer in the sun.
Yeah, well, he's up there, he's roasting, and eventually he just stops twitching. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
And we just see the cape fluttering in the wind.
Oh, Yeah, the cape, like, flies off, but it keeps flying off.
Yeah.
And it looks like a fucking kite or, like, a cross with a cape on it. Like you know, a
almost
human being
like
might be.
Almost like a little bat.
Yeah. And it just flies off into the distance as the credits roll and yeah. you see the ship. It basically keeps cutting back to the ship going in the ocean and this little kite floating off in forever. As you see, like, you know, yeah, Frank Langella, music by John Williams or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guys, that's 1979's Dracula.
Yeah?
Babe, what do you think?
I love this movie.
It was pretty good.
This is really good.
It was a lot better than I was expecting, I'm not going to lie. I apparently this was like a big budget thing in 1979. I just never fucking heard of it.
But like I said, you don't seek out like vampire movies.
I don't, but I still know, like, you know, the big one, like 1931 or whatever the first Dracula was.
Yeah, well, because it's like the first like horror movie.
Yeah, well, I know 94, Interview with the Vampire. I know.
Yeah, because
Dracula 2000, spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah, because then you were in the zeitgeist.
Ugh. But yeah, I like it. I like it
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah. Yay!
All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, oh boy.
Ooh.
We have fun facts. More beer.
Ooh.
And what we learned from Dracula.
Oh.
Hey, everybody. Join us for our next Podcart Fest, a celebration of podcasting and art. With so many incredible artists of all kinds being affected by the pandemic and shutting down of festivals in general, we wanted to bring them together to one incredible virtual festival and give you the opportunity to interact with them directly in their virtual booth, witness them demonstrate their marvelous skills on our live stream, show off some of their new products in their shops, and just have a great fun time in general at Podcart Fest. For the latest information, please follow us at Podcart Fest on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Podcart Fest. That's PodcartFest, where you can stay up to date on which podcasters, crafters, actors, painters, directors, creators, and more will be featured. Oh, did I mention it's free? Because Podcart Fest is free, so you can pass that admission fee right along to an artist who needs your help in these desperate times and have a bunch of fun with some amazing personalities while getting some unique gifts and art for yourself or a loved one. See you soon at Podcart Fest, hosted by Everything I Learned from Movies.
Sometimes, I wish a guy would tie me up with licorice ropes, and then he'd spank me, and then he would eat the licorice ropes, and he would free me, and then all of it is happening while the Philharmonic is playing Bolero. And you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan J.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour Podcast. Every week, the ODPH is talking sports, movies, TV, comics, and more. It's always a parlay of topics on each episode. You can find the ODPH on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you find great podcasts, such as the one you're listening to right now. Don't forget to check out OchoDuroParlayHour.com, where you can find the links to all of the ODPH social media accounts, links to the bands whose music you hear each week on the show, hashtag 607 podcast info, and parlay points, our companion blog section of the show. Thanks for listening to the ODPH. Now get back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Hey, this is Heather.
Hey, this is Liz.
And we are Nerdy Bitches Podcast,
a show where two geeky ladies podcast their way through pop culture.
From our favorite fandoms to the occasional girl talk and our ongoing book club, we bring everything to you with a feminine eye.
You can find us on all of your favorite podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and at our own website, nerdybitches.com.
You can also find us at our new home on the Age of Radio Podcast Network, along with other great shows at ageofradio.org.
Make sure to connect with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you soon.
Hi, this is Johnny Hugh McGinley, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies. All the best.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, those are the greatest ads that have added in the history of adding.
Yes.
Oh, they get better every week.
Indeed. Babe.
Steve.
What about you? I feel so parched. Like I've been lying at the bottom of the stairs at Carfax Abbey surrounded by cobwebs for several hours.
Well, good for the good news is we have another beer.
Ooh.
From Grid City Beer Works. We have their brown ale.
Ooh.
Taste, balance, finish.
Okay.
Sounds like a sex move.
Yeah. First you taste, and then you balance, and then you finish.
Ugh. Ooh, they kind of have the recipe on here. The hops are Fuggle.
Ooh, okay.
And that is a real hop. Malts, Maris Otter, Cara Brown, Victory Crystal 77. Oh, Victory, Crystal 77, ha. Pale Chocolate, and flaked barley, 4.6% alcohol by volume.
So yeah, it's a nice good good English brown. It sounds like the Maris Otter and everything.
I'm not going to lie, everything about this is all things that I enjoy. So.
Indeed.
Going to pop my top.
Woo! My top!
And the pour. Ooh, beautiful. It's a nice light brown color. Has an off-white foamy head with lots of medium-sized bubbles.
Medium-sized bubbles make me happy.
Oh, wow. It smells really, like, caramely, a little sweet.
Yeah.
Little cereal. Almost a little popcorn on there.
Mm. Yeah, very obviously malt-forward, but yeah, a little, like, roast, caramel, kind of the bready, like, biscuitiness almost to it.
Yeah, and so, like, as opposed to the red ale here that, did like had a pretty substantial amount of bitterness, even though it wasn't totally up front. This has almost no bitterness, but it's not like cloyingly sweet.
It's nice and smooth and 4.6%.
Right. Pickles is trying to keep Poe from getting in the window, so she's jumped over him. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not bad at all. Good choice, babe.
Yeah.
Babe, would you be interested in any fun facts?
I don't know. Are they super fun facts because they're fun facts?
Oh, they're fun facts.
Oh, shit, then yes!
Yeah, right. Rotten Tomatoes. I'll give you a hint. Critics and audience are about the same.
Ooh.
What do you think?
I'm going to go 75.
59% with the critics, 58% with the audience. So
really?
Just under fresh by their standards.
That's a shame.
Yeah. $12 million budget. Worldwide gross, $20.2
million.
Woo! So, you know, little less than even.
Didn't make $1 billion.
Exactly. Donald Pleasance was initially offered the role of Van Helsing, but he rejected it, saying it was too similar to his role as Dr. Sam Loomis in Halloween the previous year. He accepted the different role of Dr. Seward instead.
All right.
Although that seems more like Dr. Loomis to me, the head of the asylum and whatnot.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever makes him happy.
Right. Frank Langella also played the title character of Dracula on stage during the Broadway revival and was nominated for a Tony Award for his performance.
Oh, shit.
He once said of his interpretation of Dracula, I don't play him as a hair-raising ghoul. He's a nobleman, an elegant man with a very difficult problem, a man with a unique and distinctive social problem. He has to have blood to live, and he is immortal. All right.
I dig it. Yeah. Well, and so, like, to me, that's how Dracula should be. Like, he's a fucking count, for Christ's sakes, guys. He's been hiding for thousands of years. Of course he knows how to be a proper gentleman.
Indeed. There were two stipulations that Frank Langella insisted upon when accepting the role of Dracula in this movie. First, there would be no scenes with fangs dripping blood. Okay? And second, Langella would not do any commercial promotions as Dracula.
Oh.
So, there you go.
Maybe that's why he didn't make enough money. He did not make promotion. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't selling Happy Meals with McDonald's or any. I don't know. the names of Mina and Lucy are inverted in this version of Dracula. In Bram Stoker's book and other movies, Mina was John Harker's fiancée, and Lucy was her friend who became a vampire. Here, Lucy's the fiancée, and Mina becomes the vampire lady.
Yeah, I dig it. I like that we caught it, even though neither of us are huge... huge Dracula people.
Right? Yeah. Babe, this is also one of five Dracula movies released in 1979. I smell another month now. The others being Nosferatu the Vampire, Love at First Bite, Nocturna, and Dracula Blows His Cool. Also in the same year, 1979... Vlad Tepes, a Romanian film concerning the historical figure who the Count was named after, was released. And there were also two other vampire movies that came out that year, Thirst and Salem's Lot.
Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, the Stephen King one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, babe, we might have a 1979 vampire movie a month. We'll never know. But, babe, the real question is...
Yes.
What did we learn from Dracula 79?
Ooh, I mean... I learned young Frank Langella can get that.
Yeah, good old baby face Frank. I learned that whether you're a human or a vampire, if somebody puts crackers in your fucking bed, you're not going to sleep well.
It's true. Don't put crackers in people's beds, guys.
I also learned the proper way to handle a lady who's suffering from some sort of hysteria or vampirism.
I just can't seem to catch my breath. No, can't we inhale her?
You want me to do what? I can't hear you over the slapping. Guys, don't shake babies and don't slap ladies, all right? That's pretty much...
Is that just the two rules you live by?
Yeah. Time's up, guys.
See, live life the Steve way. Don't shake babies and don't slap ladies.
Yeah, if you're going to slap babies and shake ladies, that's okay.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? We prefer it that way.
That's right.
Go slap some babies today.
Do-do-do-do! Yeah. Well, babe.
Steve.
Thank you so much for watching this Dracula movie with me.
Thank you for watching it with me.
And, are you on social media at all?
I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias under Untidy Venus. I have an Etsy shop where I sell my goods and wares at untidyvenus.etsy.com. And for the spooky season, I do have some fun spooky things. So go check them out. There's boobies. There's those boobies, Dave.
Yeah.
I also have a blog over at izzycreates.com. izzycreates.com. Wow.
You can spell check yourself later.
Whatever. It's Izzy, and she creates things. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Steve? Can they find you anywhere?
If they look really hard, they can find us on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned From Movies. We're also on Patreon, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as Twitter at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned From Movies. Guys, I think we just wrapped up our spooky fall festival Podcart Fest.
Woo!
At PodCartFest.
It was amazing!
It was amazing! Oh my god! And we got another one coming up in November, so keep your eyes out for that one.
Yeah.
It's going to be Small Business Saturday. So yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned From Movies. Have a good night, everybody.